My name is Tina Fannerin and I'm a PhD student in the Centre for Ageing and Mental Health in the Faculty of Health at Staffordshire University. I'm currently completing the Postgraduate Certificate in Higher and Professional Education to enhance both my current and future teaching practice. As part of this course, I completed a module entitled Contemporary Issues in Higher Education, for which I had to submit an assignment. The assignment was based on my design of a poster presentation, which had to be based on a piece of research that I'd conducted that focused on a contemporary issue in higher education. So for the purpose of guiding you through my poster, I'm preparing an audio file to accompany it. The poster design illustrates the steps I took to conduct my research, which is based on a realist review of literature on the topic of learning spaces and learning environments in higher education. My main motivation for conducting this review was my personal interest in how the learning environment might impact the student learning experience within my own teaching practice. So I'm going to take you briefly through each section, explaining the background to my study, the design chosen to conduct my review, the results section, and finally what I learned and concluded through conducting the review. I think in order for you to maximise your view of the poster, it's probably best that you select the slideshow option. So firstly, just to briefly introduce you to the background of my study. When I began reading about this topic, I learned that the environment and the space within which learning takes place has a potential to either enhance or impede a student's understanding and engagement with a given topic. This could be seen as particularly challenging for higher education institutions, which are very much modelled on teacher-centred or instructional approaches to delivery. This just means that within higher education, delivery is usually based on this concept that the student is an empty vessel to be filled with knowledge by the teacher. Hence, the majority of traditional learning spaces in higher education institutions were centred around the teacher, who was the main focus, so standing at the front of the room, delivering expert knowledge to his or her students in a traditional either lecture theatre or what we call classroom layout, so with rows of chairs and, let's say, a pew at the front. There's an example of this within the actual poster. So it's the first picture to the right of the results section, is a classic lecture style layout, a classroom type layout. And this is actually a teaching room in the Faculty of Health. So some of the issues associated with this style of delivery are that students may disengage from learning when they don't have any perceived ownership of it. So I was quite interested in this idea, and reading around the area learned that many higher education institutions are now moving towards a more blended approach to delivery. So the aims of my study are as stated on the poster, quite self-explanatory. The study was designed around the principles of using realist synthesis to conduct a review. I selected this as the most appropriate method for a number of reasons. Number one, it facilitated the inclusion of different types of evidence. So unlike a systematic review, which stipulates quite a narrow inclusion criteria, for example, only including studies that utilise a particular methodology, with a realist synthesis review, I could incorporate different types of studies and evidence. Secondly, a realist review has an explanatory rather than an evaluative focus. So it's about explaining the research that you review rather than evaluate its merit. And it's also mainly for the purpose of understanding how a complex programme works in a specific context, which is very relevant for the topic that I chose. And finally, a realist review can also be used to provide advice on implementing or changing an intervention, which also seemed very appropriate for a review of learning spaces and learning environments. The inclusion criteria was any paper that specifically considered the impact of learning, of the learning environment or space on a student's learning experience. So you can see the breakdown of my results in the results table. From the table of search results, you see all the articles that I identified, that those that I included were only those that could be accessed in full text. And also I'd used combined search terms of learning space, learning environment and higher education. The search criteria I further limited to those that considered the psychological implications of the learning space or learning environment on the student learning experience. If you look at the very last results, S2 and S3, you can see that I identified 126 psych articles. I searched through the abstracts of those articles and up to about Article 49, and after that I realised the articles, they were starting to lose relevance. So I started to limit the ones that I focused on. An additional search strategy was to include those articles that I identified through the recommended reading for the course. So in the next section, underneath the results, where I start to discuss what I actually found, I uncovered that contemporary learning space designs have become a lot more advanced than any of those that I would see at Stafford University. So in particular, this new trend of learning space design is a learning studio, and I've given some images of that there on the poster, also beside the results section. And with a background in psychology, I was quite interested in the idea that a learning space can have a motivational effect. However, when I examined the learning spaces that I currently teach in, I realised the potential for me to redesign those spaces within the faculty of health is very limited. So a learning studio is visually appealing, it's attractive, it's colourful, flexible, comfortable furniture. And these are things that I couldn't achieve within my role within the Faculty of Health. So I chose to focus on studies that empirically explored the learning environment. So that is anything that I believed could be constructed psychologically by the teacher or facilitator, or in my case, me, and how it impacts a student learning experience. So these are the papers that I've included in the discussion that follows. So the next section, entitled The Learning Environment, is where I summarise and explain the studies that I selected for review. There are a number of intervention studies that use different approaches to investigate how to optimise the student learning experience, and these are then followed by a number of survey and qualitative studies. The rest of the section is quite self-explanatory, can be read through individually. And then I come to the conclusion section, where I've discussed those conclusions which I think I draw upon from my own teaching practice and how I might be able to develop that within my own practice. However, if I were to don my researcher's hat, I think that for the development of this research area, methodologically, some of the intervention studies may benefit from using within subjects designs. And also, I think when considering the learning environment or the learning space and how we might use this within our teaching practice, learning styles would also really need to be considered. And some evaluation of the effectiveness of teaching would also be required following an intervention. Thank you.